Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, God Values Love and Justice, from the series Exodus, and unpacks how the holiness and justice of God's law reveal our need for Jesus, the ultimate expression of grace and redemption. Before we get started with today's teaching, though, we invite you to check out PastorJeff.com to find more resources to help you grow in your walk. And be sure to sign up for Pastor Jeff's weekly email devotion to receive encouragement right in your inbox. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
But whatever the judge decided, that's what you had to do. God says you need to listen to the judge. He continues. He says, if a man gives his neighbor a donkey or an ox or a sheep or any animal to keep for him, and it dies or is hurt or is driven away while no one is looking, an oath before the Lord shall be made by the two of them that he has not laid hands on his neighbor's property, and its owners shall accept it, and he shall not have to make restitution. In other words, I did everything I could. I don't know what happened. It wasn't me. It wasn't my family. I didn't see what happened. Your animal ran away. It wasn't me. No problem. That just happens sometimes. But if it is actually stolen from him, he shall make restitution to its owner. If I say, bro, I didn't take care of it, it got stolen, I'm still responsible if we can't find the thief. If it is torn to pieces, let him bring it as evidence. He shall not make restitution for what has been torn to pieces. Hey, look, wild animal got your animal. I didn't have anything to do with it. I couldn't protect it. Let me show you what happened. If a man borrows anything from his neighbor and it is injured or dies while its owner is not with it, he shall make restitution. If its owner is with it, he shall make restitution. If it is hired, it came for hire. In other words, if I paid you to use something of yours, I paid you to use your ox, I've already paid you for it, and the ox died while I was using it, I've already paid you for it. I mean, that's part of what I paid for. If, however, I borrowed your ox, I didn't pay you anything, and the ox dies, I'm responsible. What is God saying here in all of these tricky things? If you borrow things from somebody else, you're responsible for what you borrow. And if you borrow it, it means you better return it in as good a shape or better shape than what it was borrowed in. Or you better say, I don't want to borrow it because that's your property. You keep it, right? Or you make a deal to say, listen, I'm watching it, but I'm not responsible for anything that would happen to it. Sometimes when people want to give me a book, I'll tell them this. If you give me this book, you will never see it again. So make sure it's a gift. Don't let me lend it because you won't see it. You need to know that up front. Right? We need to take care of people's things when we borrow their things. If you borrow their car, return it with gas. If you borrow their car, return it clean. If you borrow things from others, take care of other people's things. Why? Because property matters to God. Possessions that you have matter to God. We like it when people take care of our property and possessions. And God's just saying, so he put it into law so Israel would know how to handle that. So God cares about love and justice concerning people and privileges. He cares about love and justice concerning possessions and property. Let me give you a final one here. You hanging with me? All right, we're getting there. God values love and justice concerning principles and priorities. Principles and priorities. In your Bible, it may say something like sundry laws. Sundry means various or diverse, all sorts of different things we're gonna see now. And he cares about all these. The first we're gonna see is sexual seduction. Notice this. It says, if a man seduces a virgin, that's an unmarried woman, who is not engaged and lies with her, he must pay a dowry for her to be his wife. That's a bride price to the father. If her father absolutely refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money equal to the amount of to the dowry for virgins. So if there's a man and he is pursuing a woman who is not engaged to anybody else, and in the course of pursuing her, they come together and have sexual relations, he owes the father a price for his daughter. Now, the father can come in and say, no, I don't care what you're gonna pay me. You're still gonna pay me, but you're not gonna have my daughter because you're no good for her, right? Which tells us this, fathers, you should be involved in who your children marry. Dads, if you have daughters, I have two of them, don't let them marry the first jamoke that just comes down the pipe. Right? That's what it's saying. It's saying, dads, you have a responsibility to make sure your daughters marry well. And if you don't want her to get married, she doesn't have to get married. That's what it's talking about. And by the way, if you're dating somebody and you're not married to somebody, let me tell you what she's not. She is not your property and you don't own her. She belongs to God and to that family, and you better make sure you treat her well, right? That's what it's saying. And before I get fired up, we'll pause there for a bit. All right. But that's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, why? Because young girls matter to Jesus. They do. Notice what verse 18 says. Now we're getting into idolatry. Remember the first commandment? You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Notice what it says. You shall not allow a sorceress to live. Fortune tellers, those that channel demons, God says, kill them. Why? Because they're gonna pollute my whole nation of people. If they're not pursuing me, and worse yet, they're gonna pursue other gods and demon activity and be sorcerers and sorceresses. Take their life. They have no part of the covenant community of Israel. That's what God says. Why? Because God cares about his own worship. He says, worship the Lord your God and serve me only. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not share my glory with others or give my praise to idols. Notice what he says in verse 19. Whoever lies with an animal shall surely be put to death. In the Canaanite religion, bestiality, that's what that was called, with a human and an animal, totally foreign to everything God created. Now, it seems strange that in 2023? It seems strange in 2023 we'd have to talk about that. But I'm just watching the news enough to know there's going to be people that pretty soon are going to come on the air that tell you how they're in love with their cow or their dog or their cat and how they're going to get married. That's bestiality. It's wrong every single time. Marriage is between one man and one woman till death do you part, according to the word of God. God says bestiality, no, none. So they should be put to death as well. He who sacrifices to any other God than the Lord alone shall surely be put to death. Does God take his holiness serious? What did he tell the covenant community of Israel? He says, if there's sorcerers, if there's people that are serving other gods, if there are people that are into bestiality, it would be better to kill them than to let them live and be perverse and take others off the course of my great name because I'm worth it. That's how serious God is. Now we look at that and say, how could God kill somebody like that? Friends, I'm gonna tell you that each and every day, people die by the hundreds per second. And those that die in their sin, that's the God that they're standing before. And it's a horrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God with your sins unforgiven. Make no mistake about it. God is not going to restore those who are dead in their sin. God is going to punish those for eternity who are dead in their sins. That's why God is so clear about how he wants to be worshiped today. That's why it's important that you go to a church that honors the Lord Jesus Christ, that preaches the whole counsel of his word, that worships him and him only. And the New Testament says to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. So don't go killing pastors that aren't for Jesus. But here's what it says. If they're not giving the full allegiance and honor to God, get out of that church as fast as you can and go find one where Jesus Christ is getting 100% of the allegiance, because that's what God demands. Amen? That's what he's saying. All right. I'm getting excited now. All right, let's talk now from idolatry. Let's talk about care for the needy in verse 21. You're hanging with me. You're doing great. We're almost there. It says, you shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. How long were they strangers in the land of Egypt? About 430 years. He said, how could you treat a stranger poorly when you were a stranger for 430 years? When I was the only one that took care of you, how could you treat other people like that when that's where you came from? Here's my principle. Here's what I think God is saying. Don't forget from where you come from. Christians, don't forget what it was like when you were a non-believer, living like a non-believer and acting like one. Don't treat non-believers poorly just because they're acting like non-believers. That's what non-believers do. Love them. Have compassion for them. Show mercy for them. Love them enough to tell the truth to them because they're built in God's image. Says, you shall not afflict any widow or orphan. A widow is one who has lost their spouse to death, and an orphan is one who doesn't have any parents. Does God care about widows and orphans in the New Testament? 100%. James 1:27, says that pure religion is this, that you take care of widows and orphans. If you want to know the heart of God, it's for the marginalized that can't take care of themselves. God still cares about the widows and the orphans. So don't afflict widows and orphans. Why? Verse 23 says, if you afflict him at all, and he does cry out to me, I'll surely hear his cry. And my anger will be kindled, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives will become widows and your children fatherless. So if you don't take care of the widows and you don't take care of the orphans, here's what God said to his covenant community of Israel, I'll kill you. Then your wife will know what it's like to be a widow and your kids will know what it's like to be orphans. In other words, I take widows and orphans seriously. Take care of the marginalized. Help those who are having a hard time helping themselves.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, God Values Love and Justice, from the series Exodus, unpacking how the holiness and justice of God's law reveal our need for Jesus, the ultimate expression of grace and redemption. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, make prayer a priority in 2025 with the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, designed to help you make the discipline of prayer a habit in your life. We'll send you the journal as thanks for your gift to support Brave today. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. Once again, that website is PastorJeff.com. Now let's get back to today's message and listen to the conclusion of this teaching from God's Word.
So if you don't take care of the widows and you don't take care of the orphans, here's what God said to his covenant community of Israel, I'll kill you. Then your wife will know what it's like to be a widow and your kids will know what it's like to be orphans. In other words, I take widows and orphans seriously. Take care of the marginalized. Help those who are having a hard time helping themselves. He says in verse 25, regarding lending money, he says, if you lend money to my people, to the poor among you, you are not to act as a creditor to him. You shall not charge him interest. He then goes on to say, if you ever take your neighbor's cloak as a pledge, you're to return it before the sun sets. In other words, don't profit from interest off my people. You know, lend money, lend it, but don't profit off of it. Some of you are going to take a pledge of a cloak. That's the outer garment of a person. When night comes, that's the only way that person can keep warm. Give it back to them. Don't hold things over my people. What does it mean as Christians? As Christians, we should be the most kind, giving, luxurious, extravagant givers to other Christians that are in need in our community. That's what it means. That's the principle here, right? He goes on to say this. For that is his only covering, it is his cloak for his body. What else is he going to sleep in? And it shall come about that when he cries out to me, I will hear him, for I am gracious. Notice this, you shall not curse God, nor curse a ruler of your people. How about that? Now we could pause there for about 3 weeks. Don't curse God. Don't say bad things about God. Yes, we all go through seasons where it's difficult. Yes, we all go through seasons where we can question God's goodness to us, but it doesn't change the fact that God is always good to us. Don't curse him. Don't say, God, where are you? Don't say you're no good. God is good whether you're feeling it or not. The fact that you're breathing today, blinking today, if you ate today, every good thing that happened in your life today already is because God blessed you. If you slept last night, that was a blessing from God. Don't curse God, nor what? Nor curse a ruler of your people. Don't curse rulers of our people. Don't curse pastors. Don't talk bad about pastors. Don't talk bad about your spiritual leaders. Don't talk bad about your small group leaders. Don't talk bad about other people in the church. Don't talk bad about political leaders. You can disagree with them. I find myself frequently doing that. You can have a discussion about the facts that you disagree with, but you don't curse another person because that other person was created in the image of God. And it's so easy to join social media and everybody else is bearing false witness and think you're just being godly to put other people down, but it's atrocious to God to talk bad about somebody that he created in his image that he sent his son Jesus to die for. Stop it. That's what he says. Amen? I'll take the golf clap. Okay. I know that hits home because we see things from people that are making decisions that we don't like and we think it's our job to tell everybody else and promote all. It's not. Go to God with it. Cry out for justice to God. Ask God to show them the same kind of mercy that he's shown to you. Ask God to right every wrong because he promises that he will. But don't you go around being the bad mouth of everybody else. Amen? How about verse 29? Stay here for a few weeks. Do not delay the offering from your harvest and your vintage. The firstborns of your son you shall give to me. What's God saying? Your grains and your wine, the first fruits of everything you have, bring to me. Not your leftover scraps. I want your first and your best. When you get a paycheck, you bring me the best part first. I want to know that you're bringing me the best first. When it comes to your sons and when it comes to your animals, you shall do the same with oxen and with your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days, and on the eighth day you shall give it to me. You shall be holy men. Therefore, you shall not eat any flesh torn to pieces in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs. So flesh that was eaten by animals, the blood was still in it. They were considered unclean. You could get disease, get rabies. Don't eat it. What was he saying before that? He's saying, your firstborn sons belong to me. Dedicate them. It's the reason Jesus was dedicated on the eighth day in the temple. Why? Because your firstborn son belongs to God. That's what he told them, the people of Israel. And the firstborn of all your offspring belongs to me. Let it stay with its mother for 8 days. On the eighth day, you bring it to me and sacrifice it to me. Why? Because I'm worthy of everything that you have. And I want to know that I get your firsts and not your scraps. How does it translate today? It translates like this. When you come to worship God, bring your best. Bring your best heart before him. Bring your best worship before him. Bring your best financial gifts before him. Bring all that first before him. Don't give God your scraps. Don't give God your leftover time and your leftover money and your leftover resources. Like, no, I want all the best first because I want to know that I'm priority in your life. That's the principle. This is what he was teaching the covenant nation of Israel. And then he finally gets down into these final sundry laws, these first 9 verses of 23, which is where we'll end, where he talks about legal justice. And just listen to this. He says, you shall not bear a false report. Do not join your hand with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not follow the masses in doing evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after a multitude in order to pervert justice. What's he saying? Always tell the truth. Always tell the truth. Do not follow the multitudes of liars. You always tell the truth. If it costs you, you tell the truth. If it costs somebody that you love, you tell them the truth. You never, ever waver from the truth. And all God's people said, amen. It's easy to say, it's hard to live. Especially when it's somebody that you love, that if you tell the truth, it could cost them. Nor be partial to a poor man in his dispute. Show no partiality. Whether somebody's rich or poor, you tell the truth. Notice how he says to take care of your enemy's possessions. If you meet your enemy's ox, I find that kind of funny. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey wandering away, you shall surely return it to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying helpless under its load, you shall refrain from leaving it to him. You shall surely release it with him. You have somebody that hates you, they talk bad about you, they say all things that evil, and you see their ox wandering away. You can't be like, okay, see you later. You take that ox and you return it to them. You see their donkeys falling under a cart and say, man, wish that was your master, but that's second best thing. No, you release the cart from the donkey. You release, why? Because God cares about all people and he cares about all their possessions and he cares about all their property. And if it's in your ability to do good, you do good to them, even if they've been poor to you. Does that principle still apply today? It most certainly does. Love your enemies. That's how you show love. Pray for those who persecute you. That's what Jesus said to do. Notice verse 6, you shall not pervert the justice due to your needy brother in dispute. Just because you have a brother, someone that you love, family member or church member, do not pervert justice. Do not lie to help him out. Keep far from a false charge. And do not kill the innocent or the righteous, for I will not acquit the guilty. Babies in utero are innocent. People that kill them are guilty. People that don't stand up for the right of the unborn are guilty. Not before man, but before God. The God of the universe, the one that's writing all this. Don't kill righteous people. He will not acquit the guilty. You shall not take a bribe. This should be on every hall at Congress. You shall not take a bribe For a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of the just. Don't take a bribe. If you take a bribe, you won't see clearly. Do what is right before God, is what he says. You shall not oppress a stranger, since you yourselves know the feelings of a stranger, for you are also strangers in the land of Egypt. And he repeats what he says. Now, we've spent about 50 minutes going through 2.5 chapters of God's word, and you may wonder, why in the world did I even come to church today? Like, what is this all about? It's all about this, that the God that you say that you love and the God that you want to serve is completely just and righteous, and he is completely loving, and that he cares for himself and he cares for others. That's why Jesus summed up the law in saying this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This sums it all up. And some of you may say, well, that's all we needed to know. That would have saved us 50 minutes. But here's why I taught you this. When Jesus came to the world, here's what he said about this very law. In the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, here's what he said. Matthew 5:17, do not think I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until it is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Did Jesus come to abolish the law? Did he take the law away? Is the law gone? No. And woe to those who teach that it is. The law is the law. It does not change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why Jesus begins to explain the law. You've heard it said this, but I tell you this. And there's nothing that he does to make the law less binding. He only makes it more binding. You've heard it say, do not kill. I tell you, don't even think that your brother's an idiot. You've heard it say, do not commit adultery. I tell you, if you even look lustfully upon a woman that's not your wife, you've committed adultery in your heart. I mean, he's expanding and he's expounding the law. How can we pitch the law and say that's no good? That's the God you're going to stand before someday. And if you're paying attention, you're realizing, wow, I can't keep all this. And you're right. You're right. That's why God sent his son Jesus. Jesus had to come and fulfill the law so he could do something, because if Jesus hadn't fulfilled the law, his death on the cross would not have counted for anything. If he had broken just one of the laws, his death on the cross did not count for anything. But he fulfilled the law. Romans 5:6-8 says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man, someone might even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It says in Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. You see, Christ fulfilled the law in us and is working it out in and through us. Jesus came because he didn't throw away the law. He was accused that he didn't keep the law, but he kept every jot and tittle of the law. He fulfilled the law perfectly, which neither you nor I could do. And when he went to the cross, he was offering himself up in complete love for the world and in complete justice to his Father. Love and justice meet at the cross. It was Jesus saying, it is finished. I've fulfilled the law. I've taken care of what you couldn't do for yourself. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. And in perfect justice, God the Father poured all his wrath out on his son. And Jesus Christ died and all the sin of the world was paid for. And 3 days later, when he rose from the dead, validating he was indeed God's one and only son, guess what took place then? He began to offer life to everyone who had transgressed God's law and said, well, you can't get to God. I am God, and I came for you.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, God Values Love and Justice, from the series Exodus, unpacking how the holiness and justice of God's law reveal our need for Jesus, the ultimate expression of grace and redemption. Before we let you go, we want to remind you to request your copy of the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, designed to help you make prayer a daily habit this year. When you give a gift to support Brave, visit PastorJeff.com to give and request your copy. That's PastorJeff.com. While you're there, Be sure to sign up for email updates from Brave to be among the first to hear about new resources to equip you in your walk. Thank you again for joining us today.